All right, healing class. What are our expectations today? Are we just here to hear something? Or do we expect to get something, to receive something? I just want you to have a mindset before we even get started. It's not just be here to put in some time or sit in a class. God's got something for you. When I was asked to teach healing class today, a few weeks back, I didn't have a clue what to speak about for about a week and a half. Not a clue. But then God told me, and he showed me. So if he told me and he showed me, it's for you because you're here today. God's got something for you today, right?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Father, just thank you so much for the word that you've placed in my heart to give today. We come with open hearts and open minds. And Lord, just help us to receive. Speak through me. May my words be only yours. In Jesus' name. All right. So I'm expecting good things, because that's what it's all about. The finished work of Christ is nothing but good for us. The good news, right? So I want to kind of start out with the way God showed me how to start this class today was I got a call from my cousin. He's about 18 years older than I am, and you've probably heard me in some of the other teachings I've done recently over the past year talk about him here and there. Well, we finally come to the end of the whole thing, and I just kind of want to share the journey with you because it was really amazing, and I was so blessed when he called me the other day because I haven't really seen or heard from him in the past 3 months. But my cousin, like I say, he's about 18 years older than I am, and he's more like an uncle to me than a cousin because of that age difference. When I was a young teenager, about 12 years old, I moved out of my house with my mom because I didn't get along real good with her husband, and you know, it just wasn't a good situation. God's brought healing to that whole situation, but I moved in with my father when I was about 12 years old, and I moved into the snake pit, basically. My dad was a biker and had a really different lifestyle than my Christian mother was raising me in. And I know that's why she was weary about letting me go, but it needed to be. And I can see now through the past how that was a good thing and good for him as well as me. But it was a difficult time for me moving from my mom's home to in with my father and stuff like that. There was a lot of weird things going on in my head and stuff like that. And my cousin Gary, that I'll just call my uncle, took me to his home up in Indian River, Michigan with him quite a bit during the summers at that time. And he taught me how to fish, taught me how to like trout fish, to tie a hook on properly. You know, I took my dirt bike up there and rode through the woods and stuff. He showed me how to hunt and helped me learn how to hunt and stuff. And it was really a special time. I mean, he really, really invested in my life. You know, and almost like a fatherly figure, almost. Even more so than an uncle or a cousin. But so there was a pretty strong connection there. And you know how time goes, you know, you kind of lose contact. You see each other at funerals or whatever, right? So years and years and years have passed. I haven't really seen him in a long time. Now he's in his 70s. He's living alone up there now. Last year around this time, he had an accident. He just didn't show up at his normal places for a couple of days. People started wondering what's going on. When they found him, he had fallen down. And I guess he had an infection, a MRSA infection in his spine that was really eating him up. It was making it hard for him to move or anything. And he had fallen down and was just stuck there. Well, they brought him to a hospital down here in the lower part of the state. And when he got out of the hospital, they sent him to a rehab, like a nursing home type facility. It was only like 7 or 8 miles from my home. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. I'll go see Gary, right? Let's go talk to my cousin, see how he's doing, and visit him. And when I went in on my way there, I listened to some worship music, and I was praying in tongues and, you know, just loving on God and God loving on me. And when I walked in the door, God said, tell him he's going to walk out of here. I really didn't know the extent of his injuries and what was going on with him. I just knew he was there and he was, you know, not doing great. But I went in there and I just told him hello and it's good to see him. And I said, listen, God told me to tell you, you're walking out of here. And he looked at me and said, I hope so. Let me tell you what, there didn't seem to be a lot of hope in his I hope so. I didn't realize that wasn't something they were hoping for him to be able to do, was walk again. I didn't know the extent of the damage that was going on. As it turned out, he had a part of his bowels that were dying, and he had to have a portion of it removed. They thought he was going to be with a colostomy bag the rest of his life. Well, it turns out, once he had that surgery, they didn't have to take as much, and he didn't have the colostomy bag. Praise the Lord, right? Well, so, you know, I spent some time there visiting him, and since it was so close, I went at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, and I just was sharing the gospel with him, loving on him, encouraging him with the word that I heard from the Lord that he will walk out of there. You know, and he didn't just jump up out of bed and go running out of there, but week by week as I went, and I just loved on him, we talked about baseball, this, that, or the other stuff, I'd share the gospel with him, he would never let me leave unless I prayed for him. One of the times I was visiting, I heard the Lord say, guilt is causing him to have a hard time receiving. So I just asked him, I said, do you feel any, you know, guilt over things from the past? And he teared up and shook his head, yes. And I explained to him the gospel, how God's not holding his sins against him and the choices he made, that's been taken to the cross. He didn't need to feel guilt. He needed to let it go. And we prayed, and he let the guilt go. And things changed, it seemed like, from that point. Things started getting better. He started having hope. It wasn't just that I hope so. There was a real hope there. I would talk to him about the gospel, and what I hear a lot of times when I talk to him about healing and things like that was like, I don't know, I just never heard that before. This is a man that hadn't been following God since he was a child. And even then, I don't know how much he did or didn't. But I know he hadn't heard the truth of the gospel, what the truth of the gospel is, that it's finished. What that meant for his healing and stuff like that. He just, I don't know, I've never heard that before, he would say. And we'd pray. And he always just got so emotional and tearful when I would minister and pray to him. I knew God was working on him. You know, and we believe for things incrementally. You know, he had to have that surgery for his bowels, and he didn't have to have the colostomy bag. Then he went into surgery for the spine. It would have been great if he had just received healing and not needed these things, but this is how he was receiving it. His hope was growing into faith, little by little. And he had the surgery on his spine, and it healed up better than anybody expected it would. Then he was in another rehab place for a while after that, and finally they were letting him go home. He got out of the rehab place just a couple weeks before the whole COVID thing hit, and there was a bunch of patients in that very place with COVID. And he was weakened. I mean, he was thin, bone thin, and not in a real strong state. So God got him out of there just in time. But you know what? He walked out with a walker. He walked out with a walker. Nobody's expecting him to be walking again. Well, the great thing about this was, one, he got connected to the Father again. He was hearing from God on his own. He was praying. He was connected again. He was hearing. That's better than any physical healing, though it's still part of it, right? So we had the shutdown. I hadn't talked to him in a while. I haven't seen him because he's back up north now, living with his sister while his house is getting some work done on it. He called me and said he's been walking a mile a day every morning with nothing but a cane. Wow. Nothing but a cane. Wow. Wow is right. So, you know, I want to talk this morning because this made me think about what God wanted me to talk about. And what I want to talk about is hope. If hope was a cake, right? If hope was a cake is the title of this class today. Because this whole journey that my cousin and I went through started with something I heard from God. Now, isn't it written in the Bible, go tell your cousin that he's going to walk? But I heard it from God, right? And I know that it lines up with the Word. So when I heard it, I spoke it out in faith. When he heard it, he had hope. very little hope at the beginning, right? But there was hope. And hope is powerful. Think about it. When people are in the hospitals, doctors and nurses are always trying to instill some hope, because when people don't have hope, they don't do as well, right? Hope deferred makes what?
The heart sick.
Hope is a powerful thing. People need to have hope. But his hope was growing into something else. Can you go to Hebrews 11:1? Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things what?
Hoped for."
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what was this hope growing into? Faith, right? When I look at that hope, now faith is the substance. Substance means the real physical matter which a person or a thing consists, the tangible, solid presence, right? So let me use the cake as an example. Okay? Let's pretend that this is a new type of cake mix that has the eggs, the oil, and the water all in it too, and all the ingredients are in the box. It isn't, because I don't think they make such a thing. But with this one, we're going to assume it did, okay? So if hope were a cake, right? Faith would be the confident expectation that mixing all these ingredients together is a cake, right? So who'd like to have a cake? Somebody wants cake, right? Anybody? Cake? Somebody? Come on.
Can I make it? I'll take it.
Somebody besides Kitty want a cake? All right, Kitty, it's yours. So, there you have it. Do you have a cake?
No, I just have the ingredients.
But wait a minute. Faith would say you have all the ingredients, therefore you have a cake. You just haven't seen the manifestation of it yet, right? No, but this is the magical box that has all that stuff in it, remember? But all the ingredients are there. So by faith, the evidence, the physical manifestation, the tangible part of it is all the ingredients are there. By faith, I have a cake. I haven't seen it. It's not on a plate yet, but I have a cake. So let's turn that around. If you're looking at it for healing, who needs something healed?
I do.
Only one person? Come on, don't be bashful. All right, I thought so.
I actually have what your dad has, so I can really, I'm feeling it right now, very emotional.
Okay, good.
Before I even got here, I could feel something was coming.
Awesome. That's hope. You're coming here with hope, right?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so if you need a healing, do you already have a healing?
Yes.
Now remember, if hope was a cake, having all the ingredients means you have healing, right? Or you have a cake. So if you're hoping for healing, but you haven't seen the physical manifestation of it yet, does that mean you don't have it?
So the magic in the cake is God. And I belong to God. Therefore, he has healed me.
Bingo. If hope is for hope for healing, your faith is that Jesus already gave me all the ingredients I need for healing. Right? If hope was a cake, all the ingredients were the tangible things that I needed for a cake. Well, if hope is healing, then Jesus is the tangible thing you need for healing, right? And you have Jesus. Listen, even if you're not born again, you have what Jesus gave on the cross for all mankind. You don't have to be born again to receive healing. I don't know very many people who could get healed by Jesus, receive a healing, and not receive salvation also. I think it would probably come rather quickly. But what's already done is that Christ went to the cross so that all the ingredients for your faith to manifest as healing are already done.
Hope is the birthplace of faith.
Hope is the birthplace of faith, exactly.
You just have to put the ingredients together. Well, kind of together, but with... how do I put it? You have to believe, and you have to have that faith, and you have to have that, know those ingredients.
If you don't know it, you can't have it, right? I mean, it's there, but you need to know it. This is why we need to be in the Word to understand and know what is involved in our salvation. The ingredients have all been given. Everything has already been given. Just like taking the cake box says, I have a cake already. Well, hey, I've already got everything I need for life and godliness given to me because of the cross. It's already done. Now, can you just have hope for healing? Isn't that a good place to start? It's the beginning. Like you said, it's the beginning of your faith, right? I mean, a lot of times... And I found myself in the past telling people when they say, I hope to be healed. Or even with Gary, when I talked to him, and I said, you know, God said you're going to walk out of here. And he said, I hope so. In the past, I'd have been like, no, don't hope. Have faith. But the Bible says hope is the beginning. It always starts with hope. And faith is the substance of that thing you don't see. It's the evidence that it's already there. So even though you don't already see your healing physically, it's already done. Can you see it inside is the thing. Close your eyes for a minute, okay? Think about that thing that needs a physical manifestation of healing, a mental manifestation, like whatever that healing is that you need. Can you picture yourself no longer with that thing? Can you picture in your heart, not in your eyes, but in your heart, the tangible presence of Jesus touching you, a warmth flowing through that area that needs that touch? Can you see yourself doing what you couldn't do before? The ingredients are all there. Picture it. Get a hold of that picture in your mind. Get a hold of that picture in your heart until it becomes a reality. Think about it daily. Take time to picture yourself that way until you dream that way. Get it from your head to your heart. See it.
That's why they, on the cake box, they put a picture there. Because you can imagine
exactly right
what the cake looks like.
Exactly.
And so, you know, imagination goes along with the idea of
absolutely
hope and a positive imagination.
Absolutely.
You know, the Bible talks about negative imagination and stuff as well, and that's not what we're dealing with.
Absolutely. We spend too much time contemplating the things of the world. The doctors are always going to give you worst case scenarios, right? Because they're covering their behind for lawsuits. Well, the doctors may give you facts about your body, but God gives you truth about your body, and the truth is more powerful than the facts. The truth is the real thing, the real tangible thing. Remember, it's the tangible presence. Faith is the tangible part of it that you don't even see yet. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it isn't done. It just means you haven't seen the physical manifestation. Now, I want to make it very, very clear because like I don't always clarify myself on this point as much as I should in healing class. It is already done. God is not holding anything back. Your healing is there to be had right now. The physical manifestation of it is there right now. The difference is that sometimes we receive it incrementally. Okay? My cousin received his healing incrementally because the things I was telling him, he just had a hard time wrapping his mind around. Even though faith was there and he was growing, and you could see because he was so emotional when I spoke about the Lord to him, you could tell God was working on his heart. He just couldn't get there all the way. He was healed the minute I walked in there, and I said, God said, you'll walk out of here. He could have just got up and walked out of there if his faith was there. It wasn't there yet. So God used that opportunity to grow his relationship with him along the way to his complete healing.
But doesn't that have to do with the cake and how fast the cake bakes?
Sometimes the cake takes a little while, right?
Yeah, doesn't it take like a half hour, 35 minutes?
I guess, but you can put it in a microwave and make it even faster, right? Healing is done. Healing is done. But we receive it sometimes incrementally. Mm-hmm. Okay? God's not holding it back. Go ahead.
That guy that we saw in Andrew Womack who had that that tumor on his chest,
mm-hmm.
You know, he would refuse to get the surgery because he felt God said no. Mm-hmm. But it took him a while to receive the total healing, but during that time, he was in his word and he was just believing what God's word said.
Right.
And then the tumor started shrinking and eventually it was gone.
But he was convincing his own heart. But you notice that as it started shrinking and he started seeing the manifestation, it started moving along quicker too, right? See, our own bodies are proof that Jesus has already healed us because how did God create us? God created the human body to do what when it gets wounded?
Heal itself,
right? So you never get healed of anything without God because God created your body to heal itself. Every healing you ever have, even if it's just cutting your finger, is because of God. But as faith grows, you can receive, but it all starts with hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember, the whole thing started because I heard something from God and spoke it out in faith, right? Faith comes by hearing. So if hearing God is so important, then we need to kind of know some of the ways that we hear God, right? And we could do a real long weeks and weeks and weeks on just how to hear God's voice. And we don't have time for that today, but we are going to hit a couple points because it's pertinent to this teaching, right? So what are some of the ways we hear from God?
Through his word.
Through his word, right?
People. The time that we spend.
Some other people too.
Time that we spend with him.
Yeah.
His word.
In his word. Why is reading his word so important to hear God's voice?
Because it's life, and this is one way God speaks to us, it's through his word.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But you also have to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer or a reader. You have to do what it says.
To apply the word?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So your brain is kind of like a computer, right? You have to input the information. It has to be in there for God to pull it back out and use it, right?
Right.
So the word is good, and being a doer of the word and not just a hearer. But is it enough just to read the Bible? I mean, I know a lot of people, right, that have read the Bible front to back and have almost no comprehension of the deeper meaning of the word. Because you can read the word like a book, or you can love God by reading the word and allow revelation word to come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, we can't just rely on reading the words only to hear God. We need to be able to hear his voice for ourselves and then be able to line it up with his word. Right? Jesus didn't go around just checking every little thing to see, you know, well, can I go do this thing for this person? Let me find it in the word. Jesus knew the Father. He knew the Father's will. He knew the Father so well that when he heard the Father say, curse this fig tree, he heard his word. He heard the Father say it, so he cursed the fig tree, and the fig tree withered. He didn't doubt that it would happen. He heard it. Kind of a weird thing, but God was making a point with it somehow, right? He didn't do anything he didn't hear God tell him to do. But he knew that what he heard lined up with God's character and nature and his love. So we read the word so we know God's character, nature, and his love, so when we hear his voice in our heart, in our spirit, we know it lines up, then we can, in faith, speak it out and see the thing happen. See, I know God's will for healing, and I'm accustomed to his voice, so when I heard him say that my cousin would walk out of there, my faith was right now. I believed it was going to happen, because if God says it's going to happen, and I heard it, and I know it lines up with his word, there's no doubt. I have faith it's happening. His faith came a little slower than mine. But that's okay, because we watered his faith week after week, loving on him, praying with him, sharing the word with him. And he got there. What's another way that we hear from God? What do you let lead you? Let me put it that way. What are you led by in your decision-making by hearing God? Somebody's got it. I know you do.
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, yeah. Something else?
Just the inner witness.
Inner witness, yes.
Sometimes it's just a word from somebody else and at a time.
God can take a word out of the word and make it revelation knowledge. He can take a word from somebody else and make it revelation knowledge. But we let peace guide us sometimes, right? Sometimes we hear God's voice through peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So sometimes it's just about following that peace. If I don't have peace about something, if I'm asked to do something and there's no peace there, the answer is no. If I have something in business that I need to do and I don't have peace about it, it doesn't happen. I'm not going to move unless I have the peace that passes understanding saying do it. When this whole COVID shutdown happened, we didn't have any income coming in. My unemployment's been locked out. I haven't been able to talk to anybody about that through the whole thing. But at the very beginning, I heard God's voice tell me, "I got your back in this." So we spent 3 months at home with no income coming in, not worried a bit. We knew that every bit of our savings that we had to spend to live off of would just be replaced later because God said he had our back. We had peace. In the middle of that storm, we had peace, and peace is what guided us. That's hearing God's voice. It's a peace different than the world gives. So these are just a couple of the ways that we hear from God, but it's important that we hear, because faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God.
The word of God. Whether it's coming from actually reading the Bible, because again, he can bring you revelation word while you're reading. And you know, a lot of times that's where you're going to get it. More times than not, that's where you're going to get it. But we also need to be sensitive enough to him by just being intimate with him so that we hear his voice day to day as we're doing our daily lives and businesses. You're not always got your nose in the Bible, but you always need to hear the Father talking to you, right? But know him enough from reading your Bible that when you hear him speak to your heart, you know it's him and not just your own desire or something. But your healing, because this is what we're talking about, right? Always starts with hope. So let's go to a few examples in the Word about that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Hope is a good thing. Like I said, I used to tell people, don't hope, no. Hope is a good thing. Hope is the right path to be on to get you to faith. Faith is the substance of things you hope for. So if you're not hoping for anything, can you have the substance? Well, what can you have if you don't hope for it? You don't see it already. You're going to have to start hoping for it. Can anybody in here hope for their healing to manifest? Come on, right?
Right.
Hope is a good place to start.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, talking about Jesus. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Did this man have healing already?
Yes.
Did he?
No.
Jesus been to the cross yet?
No, he
hasn't. He didn't, you know, so he had hope for something that wasn't a completed thing yet, right? Can you just picture what happened before this? This guy had heard about Jesus, how he was going around healing people. He was talking about the new kingdom to come, where healing will be a done deal. And it started creating faith in him, faith that Jesus could heal him. But he had to go to Jesus to get it done, didn't he? The cross says he is always willing. That side of the cross, he didn't really know, did he? He had heard the things he heard about Jesus, grew some faith in him, but he didn't go up there confidently expecting. He asked, "Are you willing? If you're willing, I believe you could do it." But this side of the cross says he is always willing, and it is done. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him. You know, I love that part. Sometimes we skip over little things like that, but I love that part. This was a leper. You're not supposed to touch lepers. This man had gone, who knows how long he'd had this leprosy. Maybe it was 10, 15 years or more. You know how long it'd been since he felt human contact? Just a simple thing like shaking a hand or getting a hug or something from somebody. Jesus reached out and touched him, probably embraced him, made him feel like a human being. Somebody was loved and cared for, not somebody that needs to be run away from. Saying, "I am willing, be cleansed," and immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Wow. Matthew 9, another example. Matthew 9, 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." He touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. They couldn't see it with their eyes, right? They're blind. But where did they see it?
In their spirit.
Faith, right? In their heart. They saw themselves being able to see. Do you see why it's so important to see yourself healed to receive the manifestation? Who was their faith in?
Jesus.
It all started with hope, right? They had hope
right. That
Jesus could do it, but they had faith in Jesus. But they had faith that Jesus had faith that it could be done because he said, "Do you believe that I can do this thing?" So their faith was in the fact that he believed he could do it, right? Where's your faith at? Are you trying to conjure it up for yourself? I'm getting enough my faith to believe for my healing? That's chasing your own tail. Jesus had the faith that when he went to the cross, he was going to take on all your sin, all your penalty for sin, all your sickness, all your disease, and defeat it for you. His faith was enough for you. Our faith is in the fact that he had all the faith for us. That takes the pressure off you, doesn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why it only takes the faith of the size of a mustard seed.
His faith is enough. His faith is enough. Our faith in his finished work accomplished it all. Hebrews 12 says, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the what? Author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the substance of your faith. He's the author and the finisher. If hope were a cake, that cake box and all its ingredients are the substance. It's the faith, right? Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the substance of your healing. Already done. The author and the finisher. My faith is in him and the faith he had for me. Think about this. Went to the cross. And I think about this. It was 3 hours, right? And then everything went dark. And I mean, he could have given up the spirit at any time, just got that thing over with. But I think there was something important happening through that course of time when he was on the cross. This is just me. I don't have Bible to back it up. All I have is a real strong impression that this is right, and you can take it or leave it. Like I say, I don't have Bible proof of this, but I believe Jesus saw every one of our faces while he was on the cross. I believe that the Father showed him every person's face that was going to accept him, and it encouraged him to go through what he went through because he loved us so much. Seeing every one of our faces on the cross kept him to the mission. Yes?
You got scripture.
Okay.
The Hebrews 12:2 that you read, who for the joy that was set before him.
Yeah. So I guess we can connect that. That works. Yeah. I believe that, and that's what I believe. I believe he saw each one of our faces. Why it took the time that it took. That's huge. He didn't just do it because he had to. He did it because love. Mm-hmm. If he did all that so that you could have more than just going to heaven instead of hell, what is included in salvation? Can anybody tell me what all is included in salvation? You look up the word sozo for salvation, and this is Greek and Hebrew. Can anybody tell me what it includes, the whole description of that? I know somebody does.
Saved from hell, prosperity, completeness, deliverance. It's all in that.
Divine health, healing, deliverance, prosperity, wholeness, completeness, righteousness, peace. It's a package. We're so happy we get saved. We're like, if you believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, was Son of God, rose from the dead, you'll be saved. And we're like, yay, I'm going to heaven, not hell. Listen, there's so much more included in salvation than just not going to hell. And he thought it was worth doing for you to have it all. He wants you to have the whole cake. All right? The whole cake. Not just the place you're going to go when you pass out of this body. He wants you to have the whole cake. You have your cake and eat it too, and not be a pig. Isn't that awesome? Where else is it okay to eat a whole cake?
No.
Right? Where else is it okay to eat a whole cake?
And it's calorie free.
Calorie free. Chow down. Let hope give you a cake to eat. All right, one last one. Matthew 9:35. It's getting short, so I'm just going to read it. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news about what we just talked about, right? That belief in him is going to bring righteousness, peace, joy, healing, prosperity, deliverance, the whole pack, the whole cake. He was going around preaching about the whole cake of the new kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. See, did he just heal some of them? When he taught about the cake, people received it and ate it. Can you just imagine hearing his voice and it brought such a fire inside you? People, you know, they said that our hearts burned within us when he spoke, right? Mm-hmm. Listen, God's speaking to you today. Is your heart burning within you? It should be. God's speaking to you. He's saying, have hope. Hope will bring the faith, the substance, Jesus, that you've already got to manifest your healing. As he spoke, their faith grew. As other people spoke about him, their faith grew. But hope is where it all begins. If you don't have the faith today to receive healing immediately, can you at least have hope?
Right.
Can you at least start with hope?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Picture it in your heart. Every day, every time you think about it, picture yourself healed. Let that hope grow into your cake. Because you already got it. We all know what I mean by cake, right?
Right.
Your healing is done. At least have hope for it.
I think that's a big part. You have to, sometimes, especially when you've been struggling with something for so long, like you almost identify with it, and you think of yourself like that.
Mm.
You have to stop thinking of yourself like that and say, no, I'm healed.
You have to stop identifying with your sickness being who you are.
Right.
Because it's not your sickness. It's the devil lying to you. The only way he's got to hurt God is to hurt his kids.
Right.
And if he can get you to believe the lie that you're sick, that you got this problem, and you take ownership of it, so long as you're identifying and that's who you are, if you can live with it, you can live with it. But start with hope. Let's start with hope. Believe that Jesus already had enough faith for you. It's a good place to start. All right? But listen, we're going to have prayer person for praying up here right now. Pat's going to come up here. If your faith is ready today, come join it with her. I'll stick around here for a little while too. If you want to just receive it right now because you're ready for the cake, you're ready for the whole cake, all right? We're here with you. We'll put our faith, our Jesus, our substance with your substance and agree together so that you can receive it right now, physical manifestation, what you already have. Good deal?
Yeah.
All right. Father, in Jesus' name, I just speak hope over every single person in this room right now. Father, your hope is so strong. Grow it into faith in what your son has done and is over. Thank you, Lord, that you meet us all right where we're at. And I'm believing with every person here that we have whole bodies, that our minds are whole. We receive the whole cake. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.